and just let us know a little introduction about yourself.
Hi everyone, nice to meet you. My name's Ibad Allah Muhammad, or everyone usually calls me Ibad. I'm a first year medical student at the Medical University of Plevin, and I just started 2 months ago now.
Obviously there's a lot of people thinking in a similar position to how you were just a few months ago, wondering if they actually want to go and study abroad and how it's going to be for them. So how do you feel, or how did you feel, say 6 months ago before you came abroad?
Honestly, it was a little bit daunting in a sense, because obviously just in my A-levels, didn't get exactly what I wanted. So it was a little bit of like, what am I going to do now? Obviously, I really wanted to do medicine. But obviously, the avenues in the UK weren't there anymore. So I had to, you know, broaden my horizons a little bit. And also, obviously, going to a whole new country, it's not an easy thing to do. But so it's quite daunting. So I thought, but then again, I just thought that really... I thought I really want to do medicine, and if this is the way I can do it, then, you know, why not?
What made you decide that you wanted to study in Bulgaria?
I think Bulgaria was just an attractive option, really. It's just in terms of like price wise, it's a lot better. It's quite good relatively compared to other countries. It's just a nice city as well. There's loads of stuff. You got like, you can do skiing in Bansko. There's like the beach in Varna, which I've already been to. So that's my first 2 months. So just Bulgaria seems like there's a lot of stuff to do here. I think you have to find it, but I think in time it's quite a nice place to be in.
Been to Varna already, just in the time you've
been. Yeah. Yeah.
That's the whole other side of the country.
Yeah, there was a 5-hour train ride.
A group of mates that you'd met there at the school.
So I actually managed to join the cricket team. So there was a cricket match there. And I also have a mate in Varna. So then after the match, obviously I met up with him, and then we just stayed at the beach for like the next 5 hours playing beach volleyball. So that was a lot of good fun there.
And then a load of beach volleyball.
Yeah.
Fantastic. When was that? Recently? Because obviously the weather has only just started getting kind of nice.
Yeah, this was a couple weeks ago now, so about 2 weeks ago. Yeah.
Oh, that was when it was really hot. It
was a
great time then.
It was genuinely very nice. Had a lot of fun.
Cool. So the cricket team, is that for Plevin Medical University?
Yeah. The Plevin Medical University team. So in the sort of like the induction week, they held this sort of like cricket tournament thing. So I went to it, and they obviously thought I was quite good, so they invited me to your training session, and then sort of just from that I made my place in the team, and it's gone on from there.
Is it just kind of UK students that are in the team, or a lot of students from around the world, or what's it like?
It's a bit of a mix. There's a couple UK students, and there's quite a bit of like Indian Pakistanis. Indian Pakistani and quite a few UK students as well.
There are actually other teams in Plevin that you play, or is it just going to other universities and playing?
I think at the moment it's going to other universities. I think we've got a match coming up in Sofia in a couple of weeks. So generally just, it should be, it'll be interesting to say the least. But in Plevin we just sort of do training sessions and stuff like that within our own team. So we usually go to other or universities to play.
Varna then.
Not the best, to be honest. Not the best. Personally, my performance I thought was alright, but as a team, we weren't the best.
Bit more practice is needed, though. More training session.
Yeah, we need to have. I've actually got a training session tomorrow. So.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
So, how is it? Obviously, you've only been at the school for a few months now, but how have you found kind of balancing between the sports side and the social side, as well as the medical studies?
Generally, the balance has been quite, I think, easy to settle into, in terms of obviously there is a lot of work to do and stuff, but it's very manageable. You can also have it's easy to have your sports and have your social time. It's not overwhelming in a sense, at least not yet. So it's I've settled into a rhythm of like, and I'm like, usually every weekend I do something with my friends or something like that, and also we play sports. Sports is also involved in the curriculum. We have to do sports once a week anyway, so there's also a good balance in terms of that as well.
Were they worried that going to universities in Eastern Europe, you may not have that kind of that same kind of situation where the university encourages sports and social activities, but it can be such an important factor, not just for your physical health, but also for your mental health.
Yeah.
You know, medicine's such a demanding subject, and you need to make sure that you're keeping on top of your mental health. And as we know, one of the best things for that is exercise.
Yeah.
I know you're quite new and fresh to it all. And as you said, it's kind of early days at the moment, but are you finding it stressful at all at the moment, or you're finding everything is still quite simple?
I mean, I've got an anatomy colloquium coming up on Monday, so that's going to get me stressing a little bit, but generally I've been okay. It's been okay yet.
That's good. Would you give any advice to people that are going to be joining? Obviously, a lot of students are going to be coming to Bulgaria and Georgia and many of the other European countries in September, October time for the next big intake.
Yeah.
What kind of advice would you give them?
Honestly, I'd say just get into it, because obviously a lot of people are in the same boat. It's just get involved. Like, the first people I spoke to weren't UK students, but actually Italians, because just start speak to as many people as you can, build those connections. And I think that's the best way to go forward. It's sort of, you just open up yourself to new experiences and be willing to get involved and chat, speak to new people. And I'd say just try to come out of your cocoon a little bit. Don't stay sort of wrapped up within your own self, because everyone's in the same boat. They're all doing the same thing. They're all here for the same reason. So I think just try and get yourself out there.
It's with new students, is the worst possible thing they can do when they go abroad is just get in their apartment, shut themselves in, not go out and, you know, face the life outside and get to know people. It always happens.
Yeah.
We work with so many students every single year. And you always see some of them that will kind of hide away a little bit and not get stuck out and get on with it. What was it like for you kind of the first couple of weeks? Can you talk us through kind of what you did and what it was like?
Yeah, so obviously the first couple of weeks were the like induction week and stuff like that. I also have a roommate who I met back in the UK initially before coming here. So we were sort of together. I already had someone, and then from there, like, just went to everything we could. We went to all the sort of events that were held. We spoke to loads of new people. We just tried to speak, because, for example, one of these things was this treasure hunt. We were a bit late, and we thought we should probably join the UK group, but we just saw this random group. We just went up to them. They were Italian. We wasn't the best communication wise at first, but eventually we broke the ice. So I got speaking to them, and yeah, now we're good friends with them. That was right at the beginning, and we still speak to them now. So I think so we just went to everything that we could. We just tried to see what there was, get used to the city, see what's in Pleven, see what the people are like, and just, yeah, that's it. And then also after that, we also had a Bulgarian introduction week. And in that, we were put with another sort of group. And again, in that group, sort of intermingled, didn't stay within ourselves. We spoke to people around us and just sort of tried to build those connections again. And obviously I'm now good friends. That was another UK group, and I'm good friends with them, and that's who I hang out with most of the time as well.
The interesting events or activities that you did in that sort of time?
Sorry, let me just wrap my brain. There was a treasure hunt. There were like the sports activities. There were tours around the city. Like, there's this, well, this thing called like Panorama Museum, which is quite nice. Museum tours, city tours, going down to the center, and there were like some, like, they just got everyone in the center. I just had a chat with everyone there. They've got all the nutrients there. Everyone had a chat. Everyone just got to know each other. There were parties and stuff. Not really my scene, but there were clubs and stuff, where they had events at. And yeah, that's the sort of thing. Well, people got up to you, and then the other stuff that I mentioned as well.
And for you, how was it in terms of sorting things out, like your accommodation and things like that?
So I actually got in touch with someone from Medlink, and they provided me with like contact details of landlords and stuff. So obviously I got in contact with them, and then from then on was generally quite a simple process. Messaged them, they told me about these different apartments that were available. And it was just generally quite a smooth process, and they were really helpful as well in terms of sorting out where you had to like register your living details, It was generally quite a smooth process in terms of getting accommodation. Didn't really find many difficulties there.
About you, what made Ibad want to study medicine?
I think medicine is just a field that's so, like, you know, rewarding. It's something that I've wanted to do, I think, for quite a long time now. Obviously, my dad works, he's not a doctor, but my dad works in the medical field. I think that's also what's sort of inspired me to that. That got the idea in my head that I want to go into something healthcare related. And I think ultimately, medicine is obviously not to discredit the other sort of professions in the healthcare industry, but I think as a doctor, you just get to help a lot of people, deal with the most people, and help sort of with the most problems. And I think medicine is also like a, you know, lifelong learning process, which is something I've always wanted to, you know, learn new things, which is also, I think, part of the reason why I'm in Bulgaria, is to get that new experience, the experience of new culture, a new language. And yeah, I think medicine has just always been that sort of idyllic, in a sense, sort of career in terms. And the only thing that really came to my mind when in like GCSEs, A levels, in what I want to do going forward, and nothing else sort of really matched that.
Right, so it's something that you've always wanted to do then. You've always had your heart set on that.
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic. And have you got an idea of kind of how you want to specialize and what you want to do going forward, or you're not really sure yet?
I'm not too sure at the moment, but I think, as I've because obviously it's very broad, there's a lot of things that I could potentially go into. I think just as I obviously get more into the clinical aspect, I'll start getting more of an idea of what I actually want to go into.
I speak to, it's kind of a 50-50 split. Some of them, they know all along, this is the exact specialty I want to do, this is what I want to get into. But then, of course, yeah, for a lot of students like yourself, it's about going into the clinics and actually seeing, you know, what do I enjoy, what am I passionate about, where can I help people the most effectively, all these different kind of motives. And what about the UK system? Did you apply in the UK to medical school?
I did, yeah.
It's not too much of a sensitive topic to speak about. We know most people that apply to the UK, they don't get a place because unfortunately there just aren't enough spaces, and a lot of really good, passionate students aren't able to get in. I've seen students that receive no offers in the UK, they weren't even close, and then they go to medical school abroad and they're top of the class for all the 6 years, and they just have loads of success. So what was the process kind of like for you, and how did you feel throughout the applying in the UK?
I mean, obviously it's very competitive and there's loads of sort of things you have to do in the UK. So you've got the UCAT for your personal statement, you have to get like those predicted grades and stuff. I mean, there's a lot of things that, there's a lot weighing you down, a lot you have to, like, you have to spread your focus across many different things. It's hard to stay, like, it's hard to like have like a concrete sort of focus on your own application. You have to think about the UCAT, think about the BMAT, think about your personal statement, think about your actual A-levels. So I think it's very tough to get sort of a very good application. And then again, you've got the interview stage. It's just all a bit, I think, a bit overwhelming in the sense of how many things you have to do in order to get a good application across. And it's not the easiest thing to do. And it's obviously got all the competition around you, which is, again, very tough to compete against.
So many things at such a key time in your life as well. It's such a stressful thing that people have to go through, unfortunately. It's not just a simple test or a ranking or the grades or the interviews, but everything all jumbled into one. And I think with every single one, they're just looking for one little part where you slip up, and then that's
exactly
it.
Yeah.
You're out. And then they kind of give you the hope of reapplying. Is that something that you did, or did you apply multiple times, or did you just, the first time with the UK, you were like, right, I'm going abroad? What was it for you?
Yes, yeah, so I was thinking of applying. I was like, you know, I think if this is an option that's available, I might as well get started now rather than waiting another 6 months or another year. So I thought after the first time, I was like, let me just get straight into it.
Yeah, I feel so sorry for some people I speak to. They take gap years, they resit A-levels, or they try and do a foundation year, access course, biomedical science degree. Sometimes it's 4 or 5 years of trying in the UK before they decide abroad is the answer. But a lot of people, I suppose, are very concerned was there anything that you were really worried about before you went to study abroad?
I think in terms of just of how far away you're going from home, it's not easy, obviously, being away from your friends and family, going to a completely new place on your own initially. So I think obviously that's the first sort of daunting aspect of it. And you don't really know what the people are going to be like. You don't know what the country is going to be like. So obviously I think that's the first thing that comes to mind, as in like, will I be okay in this new place? Will I be able to adjust? So I think that's the biggest sort of hurdle to get over mentally, in terms of will I be able to come to a whole new place and manage to obviously get my feet off the ground and get into it.
And thinking about that now, how do you feel about it? Do you feel like it was a necessary worry to have, or do you feel like it was a bit of that sort of fear of the unknown and now everything's all right?
There's the second one, because genuinely I think once you get into it, obviously you still miss your friends and your family, but I think once you get into it, you adjust pretty quickly. And I think once you get into the flow of things, it's you just sort of go with flow and just, yeah.
It's the students that are the most worried before they go that are the ones that then don't want to go home the most because they make so many friends and they fall in love
Yeah.
with the place and they just don't want to. Have you traveled back home yet? Have you been back for any holidays or you still stayed there throughout?
I actually have to go back to just collect my visa because it was a bit of a delay, but that's the only time so far. But then we've got an Easter break
Interesting.
coming
That's
up. Yeah. We've got an Easter break coming up, so I'm thinking I might just go back to see family.
The
Yeah.
Bulgarian Easter, it's a few weeks after
Yeah.
the one in the UK, isn't it? Cool. Okay, and what for people kind of listening from the UK and from other countries around the world, what would you say is kind of the key difference? I mean, obviously you can't compare for all the other countries, but for the UK, a very Western world kind of country, what's the big differences that you've noticed between the UK and Bulgaria?
Culturally, I think if you try and get and like obviously learn the language, speak to the people like how they speak, as of I think they're generally quite welcoming and open. They're willing to talk to you. I think as a difference, I think Bulgaria is a lot more quiet, more I think I'll say they're more reserved, a bit more quiet. I think in the UK, I think you'll find people are also like probably a bit more open. It's probably easier to talk to them initially. But I think if you obviously get involved in the language, try to obviously integrate yourself into the culture and things like that, I think it's generally the quite warm, welcoming people.
First, because I when I first came to Bulgaria, I kind of thought, are these people, are they really cold, or have I done something to upset them? Or, but then the more you get to know
Yeah.
Bulgarians, the more you realize they just react in a different way. They
Yeah.
don't portray themselves as we do with all our pleases and thank yous and
Yeah.
sorries and big smiley faces like we do in England.
Exactly,
In Bulgaria, they mean just as well as us, but
yeah.
they just. It's not just the language that's different, but it's the body language that's different. And I guess the you learn that more and more as you get settled in, and you'll see that more and more throughout as well. But yeah, that's one thing, I guess. And what's it like in the city there in Pleven?
Well, Pleven's honestly quite a small city. So I think because it's so small, I think there's quite a, I guess there's quite a sense of community, I guess you could see in Pleven between like 12 of the people. Like I think a couple of weeks ago there was some, I think some sort of spring event in Bulgaria, and so there was like some sort of festival sort of thing going on in the center, and that was quite fun. Just sort of seeing their culture and seeing how they like culturally Bulgarian things, it was quite interesting. So I think because Pleven is so small, I think you get used to seeing faces. If you go to shops, you're like, oh, you recognize this person. So I think even though it's a small city, there are also like there's more like there's nothing to do. There's things you can do in Pleven. So I think, and because it's so small, everything feels a bit more homely. Everything feels a bit more interconnected, rather than like if you go to a big city, it feels a bit more like. I think it's harder to get used to, because with plan, I think you get used to it pretty quickly because of how sort of close everything feels.
Most people kind of want to go to the bigger cities because they think it might be more relatable and more kind of diverse, but then you're saying that, yeah, the one advantage with a smaller place is having that tight-knit community kind of feel, and easier to find your way around and things like that. And I guess you can still travel to all of the bigger places.
Exactly, when you want to. And even though the prices wise, it's very easy to get around in Bulgaria, and it's not costly at all.
Yeah. Have you visited other places so far, apart from, I'm guessing you've been to Sofia because it's right next to Pleven, and you've been to Varna. Have you been anywhere else yet?
Just Sofia and Varna at the moment, but I do have plans, obviously, with friends to go maybe in a couple of weeks to maybe somewhere like Plovdiv or something like that, Not yet. I do want to go though, but I haven't managed to plan that one yet. But that is on that's on the list.
Ski resort. Yeah. In the country. And obviously a few hours away from Pleven, but still a lot of the students take advantage of going to those resorts. They're really affordable as well compared to resort in the Alps, for example.
Exactly. Yeah.
So that's a really fun way to let off some steam when you've got a bit of time free.
Yeah, and that's that. All the things you mentioned are definitely on my bucket.
Sorry, I think it was just a bit of a delay. Say that again.
Yeah, all the things you just mentioned are definitely all on my bucket list in terms of things I want to do while I'm in Bulgaria, like skiing, the mountains. It's all on my list.
What else is on there? What other kind of goals do you have, or what other ideas are you thinking of doing while you're here?
I mean, obviously, there's Turkey, which is not too far. I mean, it's far, but I think it's quite easy to get to, especially from Sofia. I kind of want to visit the neighboring countries just because while I'm here, why not try to explore as much as I can? Like, there's Romania, which is not far, Bucharest, which isn't far from Pleven at all, just I think about 4 or 5 hours, not much longer than that. You've obviously got Turkey, which is a bit far, but again, why not?
If you're getting a flight as well, they have their own flight service in Bulgaria Air, and I know that they do flights to Varna. I'm not sure if they do flights to Istanbul as well, but it's super convenient, and you can visit all these places. Greece too, and you're quite close to Serbia.
Greece, Serbia, Macedonia, stuff like that. Yeah, Macedonia, I just want to explore Bulgaria and also explore like the places around it, just because, I mean, I don't think I'll ever have an opportunity such as the one I'm in now, again, where I'm so free to sort of explore such a new place and have like this many new experiences. I think I'll definitely make a veil for these 6 years while I can.
As I said, the happiest students are the ones that just take advantage of every opportunity.
Yeah.
Of course, the studies have to come first, but when you have time, you need to go and get out there and really enjoy it and take as much advantage as you can. Cool. Okay. And let's hear a bit about the studies. What are the classes like? What's the teaching like? You got any stories to share with regards to that?
So the way it's split in Pleven is you have lectures, about I think 6 lectures a week, and then the rest are like practicals, which are just sort of smaller lessons and classes with your specific group. Because everyone's grouped into, I think there's 20 groups with about 12 people each. So then your classes are with your individual groups, and then lectures are with everyone. It's been, lectures are a bit tedious, to say the least. They're just it's a bit hard to sort of concentrate for the entire duration of the lectures, just because it's so much information.
How long did you say they are?
As in the longest one is cytology, which is 3.5 hours. So that's not
3.5 hours.
Yeah.
Any breaks?
You do get a 20-minute break in between, but
okay.
Yeah, about 3 hours of cytology, which is pretty heavy. Yeah. And then physics, for example, that can get quite intense in terms of there's a lot of contact very quickly. So you have to make sure you're on it, especially in physics, because the way they go through so much information in such a short period of time. You have to make sure you're alert all the time. In terms of other subjects, it's a bit more relaxed. And obviously, you have to be involved in lecture stuff, but it's not as intense as, say, the physics lectures are. And then in terms of...
with.
Sorry?
Sorry, carry on.
No.
I'll come back to my question. You can carry on if you were talking then.
Yeah, I was just saying, and then in terms of like the lessons and stuff, I think they're quite good in terms of you get that one, you get to sort of discuss the what you do in lectures and see in a more practical aspect. For example, like the cytology stuff that I was talking about, in the practical lessons, you actually observe the slides, you see what they were talking about, then you discuss it in more detail, you get sort of a great insight into it. And then anatomy, which is one of my favorites so far, just a lot of it's just you get to see. I mean, we're doing the skull at the moment, the skeleton at the moment, and it this was sort of the first lesson that made me feel like, okay, I'm a medical student now. So that was quite that was genuinely, I really enjoy anatomy, because and then you get to obviously learn about the structures and have that sort of like gain that first-hand knowledge with a obviously a very good professor who explains everything in great detail. So I think that's quite a good thing. But
Yeah, you're able to get an early taste of some real medical school, you
yeah.
know, with anatomy. I know these international courses, they're made so that people from all different levels of education can obviously come in
Yeah.
and start from the ground up and build a really solid foundation. And one of the things I wanted to ask, because I get a lot of students that say to me, why do I have to study physics? I'm going to be a medical student. Why have I got to study physics? So I don't know if you know the answer to this yet, but what's your kind of reasoning behind why you're studying physics at medical school?
I'm studying, well, because I have to be honest, but I think
What's the, can you see the link there yet between kind of
I
what
do see
you're
the link,
doing?
because like recently we did like fluid dynamics, which I think was quite interesting in terms of, because you have to learn like movement of blood within blood vessels and like how different like eddies and stuff can affect blood flow, how pressure affects things like that. That was quite interesting. Then you've got like the electrocardiograms and how different how the like pulses work, and that sort of stuff was actually quite interesting in terms, because it had that medical link to it. It wasn't just straight physics. So that was, I think that's where the link comes in, and I think that's what makes it bearable.
It does follow the theme of medicine, of course, and
Yeah,
you can see
it's not just straight physics. It's got that link.
no rocket science.
Rocket science.
Okay, cool. And what, did you do any physics at A level, or was it last time was GCSE?
Yeah, last time was GCSE.
So how was the jump for you? Was it manageable?
I think it definitely is manageable if you obviously if you stay on top of your if you're doing the work, it's definitely manageable to get. It's not too big of a jump in terms of content wise of what you need to learn. So I think if you stay on top of your work, then you should be okay.
Say is the biggest struggle. Was it psychology, as you mentioned?
No, probably physics, to be honest. It's
Physics
the
are the hardest.
biggest struggle, but I think it's also one that if you do enough, then it's manageable. I think also, even though I do enjoy anatomy, in terms of exam wise, it's quite difficult because there's so many things you need to know.
Yeah.
But
Anatomy is it's a big one. It is everyone's
yeah.
favorite, but also everyone's the one that keeps you up at night.
Yeah, because as I've got my colloquium on Monday, so I'm preparing for that obviously, and there's and you need to know a lot of things and make sure you actively know why this is and why. Like for example, the skull, there's so many things you need to know. You need to know like the entrance and exits of like the cranial nerves, and it's a lot of information. But it's, well, I think yeah, you have to do it. And
For people that don't know about it, can you sort of explain what it is?
sorry.
The colloquium, for people that don't know, can you sort of explain what the
Yeah,
process is
so
there?
in my medical university, generally at the end of sort of a big chunk of your topic, you have a colloquium, and this is sort of like an exam to test your knowledge and things. And if you do really well, then for the final exam, you can get exemptions. So there's less stuff you have to do for the exam. For example, in the anatomy exam, there will be a practical element and then a theory element. We have to write essays and stuff, and then doing getting colloquiums, like getting to like 5.5 and above, gives you the opportunity to not having to do one of the aspects of the exam. So that makes the life well, a lot easier if you do well, because there's less things on your plate for when all the exams are together at the end.
Frees up more space and time
Yeah.
for you to then focus on other things.
Yeah.
So it's important that you're doing a lot of revision this weekend.
Yeah.
Do you follow any kind of structure? Do you have, again, any kind of advice on how you study yourself? Do you study with peers, by yourself, or any methods you use?
So I sort of do a bit of a mix. So like so a lot of the time after uni, I like going to the library just there because I think I quite like the library environment, and usually my friends are there with me as well. So if you have any questions, we discuss it. I also quite like working on my own. So when I'm at home, I just can sort of get that full on like 100% focus just on my desk. I think that's the way it works best for me. Obviously having that things with friends with if I need to discuss anything, but also having that sort of just straight, just getting stuck into it.
Have a lot of note taking for you, or just reading, or what do you say works best?
I think for me personally, I think note taking works best for me, just making sure I know what I'm doing, I know what I'm writing about. So I think generally for me, note taking works best.
Another thing that people will probably be interested to know is what's the kind of difference between how you're tested in at degree level in Bulgaria compared to how you've been tested with your A level exams?
I think the exam structure is very different. So, well, at least in my university, we have to do oral or final exams or oral exams. So, what we do, we write, we're given a random topic about an exam. For example, let's say cytology. We're given a random topic from the synopsis. We have to write an essay about it, and then we go to the professor, and then he asks us questions. He sort of interrogates you about your thing while you're there, and you have to make sure you hit all the points. And if he's happy, he'll give you a pass. If not, then you'll have to come back for a second sitting. And that's generally how it works for most of the exams.
And
So
have you
obviously,
done any of them so far?
yeah. So not in like an official sense, but we sort of had one like a practice one, say, for anatomy last week. And it's sort of it's a very different structure, so it takes some getting used to. But I think once you get used to it, I think you'll be okay. But obviously, I'm still getting into it, so getting the hang of it, I think, is the most important thing. So, it is, yeah, because obviously in the UK, it's sort of just you write your exams, you just do it like that. You don't really got have this chance to discuss and have that element where you ask questions about your work. I think it's an interesting new dynamic, but yeah.
Found it. Do you feel like you adjusted quite well with the practice session?
Yeah, I think it went well because I was able to sort of have a clear train of thought in terms of what I was describing, and I think he gave me opportunity as well. It wasn't just sort of he gave me the opportunity to explain myself, and he wasn't trying to make me fail. So I think it's good that they don't want you to fail. So I think they always give you the opportunity to explain yourself and have. And explain why you've done what you've done and explain your answers. So I think I managed to get used to it.
You can kind of see how it would benefit you as well, because when you're in a hospital, if another
Yeah.
doctor needs to know some details and they need to question you on what you're talking about, they're not going to send it to you in writing necessarily and say, you've got 2 hours, sit down in silence in the hospital and write this
Yeah,
down.
exactly.
That's not how it works, is it? You're going to have someone that's shouting at you there saying, I need these details now, what's happening? So at least from that point of view, I guess it prepares you well, right?
Exactly, yeah. So I think that's quite, I think that might be a good way of doing
There's always a pro to these things, even if they seem a little bit scary, I
things.
guess, at first. Yeah, kind of having that there can be a really good benefit, even though it, yeah, seems like such a high pressure
Yeah.
task in the beginning. And are there any other things about the course that you have noticed that are really different to kind of the UK style that you've had to really kind of adjust, or anything that's taken you by surprise?
No, I can't really think of anything at the moment, to be honest. I think I saw the same thing about like the exams and just the way I think in the way it's taught. I don't see too many differences. I think the way they teach has generally been quite good.
What about the kind of practicals and that kind of thing? Have you had much any kind of clinical any aspects like that yet? Any practical aspects? Because that's what everyone wants to do, isn't it? Everyone wants to start getting their hands in there and getting on with some things and seeing some real clinical experiences.
Well, we haven't started the clinical experience yet, but at the moment, the only thing we sort of get to do is sort of see and touch the bones in anatomy, but I don't think that's the end of it. I think from what I've heard in this sort of the second and third semester, you start getting more of that clinical experience and having more of that hospital interaction.
And what are the kind of, from the facilities that you've seen so far, how's everything look? Does it look a lot different to like the UK and what you'd imagine the UK medical school facilities to be like?
It does seem a little bit older, but in terms of how they work just fine. So and they do obviously have modern equipment. So I do think there are slight differences, but generally I think it's not bad at all.
Campuses and the buildings can sometimes be a bit older, but
Yeah.
the schools, they have to meet those standards. And
Exactly,
I
yeah.
think with Devon as well, they've got some really like cutting edge, I've forgotten what it's called now, but it's one of the machines where it's the robotic hands that go in and do the surgeries and things.
Yeah, they were telling us about that and their tour. So obviously, I haven't got to use that yet, but it's something I'm
They're
looking
very
forward
proud of that.
to.
I think they're one of the first universities, was it in Eastern Europe, one of the first medical universities to have this kind of tech.
Yeah.
So yeah, really cool. Oh, you'll have to come back and tell us about that when
I
you
will,
get
I
the
will.
opportunity to use it, because that's really cutting edge stuff. Cool. And in terms of kind of going back afterwards, is the UK that is that your aim? Is that what you're hoping to do?
Yeah, I need to go back to the UK.
People to do it before, or was this all really new for you?
As in, I've got a family friend back in Varna who's in the fifth year, who's also got a brother who's done it. And they've said that they enjoyed their stay in Bulgaria, and they managed to sort of get into the UK smoothly. So I think that also alleviated some worries initially that I had. So I think from experiences I've heard, it's not been much of an issue getting back into the flow of things in the UK. So I think that, and yeah.
Oh, obviously they're discussing, aren't they, maybe introducing an exam for everyone
Yeah.
to the UKLA. But if you go to a good school and you prepare well, then you should be able to get through any of
Exactly,
these
yeah.
without any issues. And I don't know if you saw, we had a webinar last week. Well, you probably didn't, you're busy studying, but we had a statistic on there from the GMC that said that it was almost 1,000 people, almost 1,000 British nationals went back and registered with the GMC from foreign international medical schools last year alone. So it's becoming such a common thing now.
Yeah,
When we looked at it years ago, there was hardly anyone that would go and do it. And
that's good
now there are
to
so many people. I'm sure it's huge
hear.
news for you. It just shows. Imagine just how many people, because these are people that started studying 6 years ago. They
Yeah.
got positions 6 years ago, and I, remember back then there was hardly anyone that would go compared to the numbers now. We have thousands of people inquiring with us every year now. So just imagine by the time you're coming back, there's going to be more people from Europe registering in the GMC than actually from UK medical schools.
I can see that happening, because I think it's just an attractive option that's there, and it's becoming more and more viable, obviously with the help of the agencies I just mentioned.
We obviously try our best to help people with that, but yeah, the opportunity, it really is open for a lot of people. And for many
Yeah.
people, it is obviously the second choice. They want to go with what they know initially, but we're doing things like this so we can show people that there are people out there actually doing this. It's not this thing that no one knows about. It is really possible and it is really doable for people. They don't have to just give up on their dream. Did you ever think to yourself, oh, I might do biomedical science or something like this?
I did have that thought, but I genuinely like I want to do medicine, so I thought. I did have that thought of staying in the UK might be better, and I can maybe apply post grad, or maybe see if I can transfer from first year. But I thought maybe there's a lot of hassle involved in that, and post grad medicine is also very competitive after looking at like some of the statistics and stuff like that. So I thought it's just if I want to do medicine, I might as well do it a way that's been a way that I can do it as early as at the earliest moment I can, instead of waiting maybe a year, 3 years, and even then it might still not work out. So coming to do medicine abroad is an option that allows me to do medicine, and also I can go back after I'm done.
And are you, now you're actually there, do you wish you were in the UK studying biomed, or are you happy?
No, I think I'm definitely happy with the choice I made.
Worried about the word, I'm going to go abroad and I'm going to regret it and wish that I'd stayed in the UK. But do you feel like you still have a good university atmosphere for you in terms of the socializing and
everything? Yeah, definitely.
That you wanted from the UK?
Yeah, definitely. And I think in terms of, as well as that, you get to meet, so because it's an international university, you get to meet so many people you wouldn't expect to meet. And it just, it broadens your horizons massively because you're just mixing with so many different people. And I don't think you'd get that same experience back in the UK, just because obviously you will get international students there, but you'd obviously mix more with the UK people. But here you get a wide range of sort of different cultures, different nationalities, different backgrounds, different stories. So I think it's quite an interesting and sort of eye-opening experience.
Thank you so much for sharing everything with us. I don't want to keep you for very long because I know you've got to go and do your studies and everything. So I'll stop the recording here, but I really hope we can keep up to date with how you're getting on.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you, man. And we're more than happy to help.
Great. Thank you. Okay. Let me just stop the recording a second.